Amy Klobuchar and Elizabeth Warren may have left the presidential race, but they aren't the only women running for office this year. In fact, right now, more than 2,300 women hold offices in Congress and other forms of government. And this election cycle, hundreds more are running for office. Reporter Amelia Thompson DuVeau with the publication 538 was part of a reporting project that interviewed 97 women candidates from all 50 states. And Amelia joins us now from Chicago. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, thank you for being here. And Amelia, this is a pretty extensive project. Why was it important to take on this project now?
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, we all know that more and more women are running for public office. But at the same time, women are also still underrepresented at pretty much every level of government. And they have to navigate all kinds of challenges that male politicians don't really encounter. So we really wanted to understand, what are the experiences of women who are running for office? How has it changed over time? What's it like to run as a woman of color or a young woman or a woman with less political experience? And how do these women think about their own gender?
What, if any, commonalities that you discover across all of these women?
Well, I mean, obviously, when you talk to 97 women, you're going to hear 97 different stories. But there were a few things that we did hear from a lot of women. And one of them was just they got a lot of questions about their families. Questions like, who's taking care of the kids? Who's taking care of your elderly mother? Don't you have a lot on your plate?
And I can imagine some women who ran decades ago and are still in office, and some who just ran recently, all of them are saying that they're hearing that same question.
Yeah, women are still hearing it. And that's something that actually really stood out to me when I was doing these interviews. You know, this is something that women were hearing in 2018 when they were out on the campaign trail, this sort of assumption that politics and running for public office and serving in public office would somehow disrupt their ability to care for their family, and that, you know, that might even be kind of disqualifying, that there was this sort of implicit assumption in the question.
You also asked these women about other things like their wardrobes, and what did they tell you?
We heard that from so many women, that they felt scrutinized in terms of their appearance. And that took a lot of different forms. You know, it wasn't just kind of the media articles about, you know, what are women wearing, that kind of thing. But it was sort of being given advice about how to dress. And, you know, one of the things that actually really stood out to me was how many women just said how expensive it is, these issues with wardrobe, you know, which was something that I hadn't really thought about. But no. I heard from so many women, you know, male politicians, they can just have three suits. They rotate them and a haircut.
Yep.
And, you know, they just have to change out the tie. But for a woman running for office, people really notice if you wear the same dress over and over again, if you're wearing the same suit. And, you know, for a woman who's running for state legislature, maybe this is your first race, you don't have a lot of funding, that's a real barrier.
So some of the women you talk to believe that sexism has not or does not affect them. One of those women is Republican Cindy Hill. She's the former Wyoming superintendent of public instruction. And she says she has never used the word sexism and always wanted to hold her own and never play the, quote, victim. Is Mrs. Hill an outlier?
No, she wasn't. That was actually a response that we heard from several of the women that we talked to, that, you know, they just felt that gender bias hadn't affected them and that they just had to run as the candidate they were. And certainly they experienced challenges and maybe gender was an issue in particular ways, but that they weren't disadvantaged because they were a woman. Some women actually told us they felt that being a woman was an advantage, that being a mother was an advantage, that it helped them connect with voters in a way that, you know, they wouldn't have been able to without that aspect of their identity.
I'm also wondering, were there differences generationally in how these women reacted to this question?
You know, there actually weren't as many differences as I was expecting. But I do think there was more of a sense from women who ran you know, maybe a decade or two ago, that this was just kind of what they were expecting. You know, they were among the few women who were serving in politics at that time, and that they, you know, they just kind of had to roll with it. From younger women, maybe a little bit more of a sense of a pain or anger at this treatment. And I think I should also say that there are some women who felt that, you know, they actually didn't experience as much sexism and gender bias because of that generation of women who went before them.
You also asked women about how the media talked about their gender. Let's listen to Christine Quinn. She's former Democratic Speaker of the New York City Council.
There was a lot of stories about how loud I was. Now, do I yell sometimes? Yes. I'm just freaking loud. Like, I just wake up loud. But you know what? Bernie Sanders is always yelling. Always yelling. Hillary got criticized for being loud. The man is the biggest yeller, like him or hate him, in politics.
That is really interesting that she brought up that point. Did the women you speak to see any of basically this kind of relationship between the way they're covered in the press and how their voters treated them?
Yeah. So, I mean, I should start by saying certainly not all of the women we talked to felt that the media coverage they received was sort of affected by their gender. But I think, you know, many of them had and shared with us at least one experience where they felt that, you know, they were asked questions by reporters that they wouldn't have gotten or, you know, written about in a way that a man wouldn't be. You know, someone like Christine Quinn talking about how aspects of her personality were sort of pulled out as a negative when they would have just been ignored or even seen as a positive in a male candidate, and it's being characterized in gendered ways. And it definitely seemed to bother some of the women that we talked to. I actually talked to a former congresswoman from New Mexico who said she actually called a reporter once because she was so bothered by a story that had been written about her and her opponent. Mm-hmm. She had called the race a cat fight. And this congresswoman had said, you really need to think about whether you would have used this word catfight if we weren't two women running against each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in terms of the way that they were treated by voters, again, voter sexism and gender bias was another thing that some women experienced and noticed, and others said they didn't. And some women, I think, wanted to draw a distinction between what they saw as people having gender biases or maybe not being used to women in positions of political power and then actually being sexist. But there were a number of women who talked about very cutting and very gendered things that had been said to them by voters, especially women who ran more recently talked about social media, and they were open just about how difficult that is, how it feels to have your appearance attacked or to be called a liar. And, you know, we heard this also from women of color, that they got questions both about sort of and attacks both about their racial identity and their gender identity, and that that was in many cases doubly difficult for them.
Since 2018, more than 100 women have been elected to some kind of office. Are we seeing this wave of women have an impact on what policies are adopted?
You know, I think just having a balance of people with different life experiences, with different identities, with different backgrounds, it changes the way policy is made because people can bring those different experiences into the legislature or the governor's mansion and Congress, and they notice things that people who don't have those experiences or who don't have connections to different kinds of communities might not. So, you know, I think it's sort of inevitable that as more women and also just more different kinds of women, you know, come into office, that we would sort of see changes in the things that they focus on just because they're bringing those different experiences into their jobs with them.
That's reporter Amelia Thompson DuVaux with 538. She's part of the reporting project called When Women Run. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It was great talking to you.